But Lord, as we just reflect on the words and what those mean, I pray that we would. Lord, the second day of 2022, that we would surrender. Not just ourselves, not just our church, not just our wants and our desires, Lord, but surrender the year to you. That we would give it to you with expectant hearts, that you would do whatever you want with it. Whether it's what we know, what we don't know yet, or what is yet to come. That Jesus, that 2022 would be a year that is a line in the sand in our own journeys and in our hearts. So as we talk about, I think we are guiding our church, God, let it be a beachhead moment where you've given us some ground and we can see the ground that we've had in the past, but yet we've crossed over into a new year, a new season, and so it's time to start again. So God, I thank you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. I'm going to sit. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. Are you guys staying up here?
No.
Okay. I didn't want to cover you up.
We're going to stare at you.
Stare at me, stare at the back of my head the entire time. Hey, let's see. Okay, I have an announcement. First of 2022, baby Brubaker was just born at 10:05. Yeah, so, isn't that fun? So congratulations. I'm sure you're watching right now. No, he's not watching. He said, he's here, got here about 10:05, and I'm like, wait and name, please. And he goes, I'll wait to announce the name, so he's not going to let me do that for him. And he doesn't have the wait yet. They are tending to Tasha. So keep them in prayers, as you can imagine. Travis and I were supposed to do this together. There's supposed to be two stools here this morning, and they're not, obviously, because her water broke at like 5 o'clock this morning. So it was seems like a quick labor. So, Lord, we pray blessing on them. We're excited that you have added to the Brubaker family and to the Crossroads family. So isn't that fun? What a great way to start the morning, right? That's fun. And so wanted to say that. I just want to say, too, as we end the year and we start into 22, thank you guys so much for for being with us and tracking with us. I know it's been a crazy, crazy season. For a few months, and as we look forward to 22, I just thank you, one, for your participation, I don't know if you got the goal. My prayer entering into today was that we would be unified. I hope you feel that, because I feel that. I sense that. I feel that in my spirit. I see that in just kind of what's happening here at the church and what's happening behind the scenes, and so thank you for that. Thank you so much for your generosity as well as we close out 2021 financially. We'll give you what that number ended up being next week, so we want to let you know that. So excited about the Brubakers and New Life. There's a couple of things I do just want to mention briefly. Many of you know who Jared Sullivan, who would play the cello here. His brother passed away in a car accident this past week. And so if you'll keep him and their family in your prayers, I would appreciate that. And then in Pantego, we had a teenager lose her life to a brain stem bleed. They go to another church, Gospel City. Her name is Reese Shepherd. And so that's a life that's touched a lot of people here just in Pantego. And so if you'll keep the Shepherd family in your prayers as well, I mean, you know, just imagine, you know, and that's the thing. It's hard, right? I mean, you know, things, the seasons come, the seasons go, and then the same day we're celebrating new life coming into the world, we're also mourning life as it leaves. And so what I want you to hear is, as we look forward to 22, is one thing is, I just want to surrender, and I want us to be intentional, because we don't know the time that we have. And that's a grace in some ways. It's also hard in some other ways. And so there's, you know, there is real things at stake with what we do with this vision. And I'm really excited about it. You know, and as far as the fast, thank you, Tammy, for your words. Thank you guys for writing. Thank you for doing it. And if you did, thing for me, here's what I noticed when it came to fasting is that I live a pretty bloated life spiritually. Right, I just live a bloated life spiritually. So, like, I gave up food and some things, and it was like I really didn't need what I gave up, and so that was one. Is that I'm pretty good when it comes to just what's happening in in my day to day. But then, like, I don't need as many things spiritually as I think I need. Like, you know, there's that scripture where it says we have everything that we need for a life. What is it? Is it godliness? Right now in Jesus. And so, like, we want to yearn for more, and I'm expecting that God's going to give me more as I give more of myself. But for this moment right now, you and I have everything that we need in the Spirit to do His will. And that's what the fasting season brought out and highlight to me, is that I live a pretty bloated life spiritually too. You know, and oftentimes that's how it works. What's going on in the physical world highlights what's going on in the spiritual world. And so for me, that was kind of my big takeaway, is that there's not as much as I think I need that I need. And I use that lack of, right? I use the lack of something as a reason not to go forward and press into something, right? And so I'm here to say, like, for just us spiritually as a church, don't let Satan tell us that we don't have what we need to do what he's called us to do. Just don't. It's a cop out, and I'm guilty of it too. So I want you to hear that. It's like, well, now that I've fasted for 35 days, that I've come out of the wilderness. I mean, it's not that, right? Like, it was hard too and frustrating, but it was also good. And I think in that frustration and in that hardness, you know, we were praying this morning, and you know, we were praying for Tasha and her labor pains to be eased, right? Travis is not doing anything, let's be honest at this point, right? And she's doing all the work. And I was thinking, like, but God, don't ease the labor pains on our church. Like, we need to learn what we need to learn in this coming year, right? And so I don't want him to save us from any of those. And I hope that doesn't frighten you. It doesn't me either. So as I come to the vision for the year, I had a sense of moving in into December what I thought it was going to be, and it initially started as oneness. I was like, gosh, oneness. I think that's it. Like, we're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be unified together. It's a new season. We're supposed to be one with Jesus. And that's where I started. Well, and it migrated from there as I was talking with the staff and we were praying through it. It migrated from oneness to the idea, and you can put the slide up if you want. There it is, the deep end. That's the vision for 2022, the deep end. And so, you're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of things we could do on the deep end that we can't do on the shallow end. And I want to read you a couple passages. One was mine. I'll read Travis's as well. I'll tell you a story in between. And so this is Jesus walks on the water. It's Matthew 14. It's not going to be on your board. Just put your thumb in your Bible or pull out your Bible app. Matthew chapter 14. Starting in verse 22, and this is after they fed the 5,000, or they, meaning Jesus, fed the 5,000. And he said, immediately he made the disciples get into a boat, in verse 14, and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So there's the feeding. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land. So we get this picture of Jesus on the mountain, a hill, looking at the boat that's making its way further away to go to the other side, the Sea of Galilee. And the boat was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking in the sea. So we all know this, like Jesus walking on the water. And I love this, like, they know who he is, right? They just fed 5,000 people. They know what he looks like. They've been with him now. And then when the disciples saw him walk on the sea, they were terrified, and they saw it as a ghost. Sometimes I think, like, God does exactly what we ask him to do, and then we're like, is that really you, God? That, right? Like, you're experiencing it, like, God, I want you to speak to me in this season of fasting. And then I start realizing things are coming, and I'm like, I don't know if I've heard from God yet. That's kind of, I think, what's happening here. Like, oh, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. If that doesn't center your soul this morning, I don't know what can. Right? Take heart, it is I, and it's a capital I. Do not be afraid. Jesus is the I am. And Peter answered him in verse 28, and it says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. That's the deep end of the moment for Peter. The deep end. He got out of the safety of a boat that wasn't feeling that safe, and literally stepped out on water, as if it were dry land. And I think that's what he's calling our church to do, to do as well. He's calling us out of the boat, out of the shallow end, into the deep water. Where, because here's the thing, what did Peter need to do that? He needed faith and trust to step out. Can you imagine what it must have felt like, that first step out? Right, and here's the thing, I think that is all available to you and I in our spiritual journeys, and yet, if you're like me, I'm like, no, I'm good. I think I'm going to stay right here in the boat and keep my foot on something solid, when Jesus has the ability to make anything unstable solid. Imagine that. Jesus could take anything unstable and make it solid. And all it requires is for us in faith to respond. And of course, he doesn't get it right, right? He's walking, whoever feels this way, right? And so Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, by the way, who sees the wind? I know, I just always think that's funny. Like, he didn't see the wind, he saw the waves, right? He saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" He'd already done the hard work. Why did he doubt on the back end, right? It's because he started paying attention to the surroundings, his surroundings. And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased just like that, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Another word of saying, "Do not fear, take heart, for it is I." So that's the vision for 2022, is the deep end. Jesus is calling us individually and as a church into the deep end of the pool, the deep end of the water off the shore. And it made me think, I have a story when I was, I guess, seventh grader. I'm a pretty good swimmer, and like, I was swimming at this point. So I've been swimming in the deep end for a little bit. I've been jumping off the diving board. It's probably younger, actually. And I was at a summer camp for a week, if you ever did those things. It wasn't an overnight camp. I went home every day. And so we were in the pool that day, and I was scared to get back into the water that I'd already spent time in, right? And so as they were kind of separating us into swimming pods or whatever, like, they had the kids that were on the shallow end and kids that were in the deep end and jumping off the diving board and having a lot of fun. And I let fear tell me I can't do it when I'd already been doing it, right? So I let fear say I can't swim in the deep end. And so I spent a week watching kids 150 feet away from me in the pool doing the thing that I know I could do and watch them have all the fun, and I missed out. And as I think about the deep end of the pool, like, whether you know it or not, it's not dependent upon us to be in the deep end. It's dependent upon Jesus. That's why he said, "Take heart, it is I," right? What other words could he say to Paul, or to Peter in that moment other than, "Take heart, Peter, it's me. You're about to step out of the boat." You're about to step out of the boat. And so what I want to put before you guys this morning is, it's not dependent upon any of you on getting into the deep end. It's dependent upon Jesus. The question is, are we going to respond or not? Are we going to respond or not? And I'm encouraged because I think we already have. Like, in some ways, I'm like, we've already been doing deep end things. When I think about the coat story, Bruce, you told last week, and your generosity as it's coming at the end of the year and serving in Dallas. And what are the other things that we did? I can't even think of them at this moment. Like, we did Angel Tree, like, you know, the Angel Tree stuff, and then receiving the store buckets back. Like, we're already doing deep water things. So what I want to say is, why do we need to go back to the shore? Like, let's press forward into the deep water, because we're already kind of there anyway. So let's not retreat. Let's don't do what I did and say, "Yeah, we can't do that. Like, the church isn't in the right place to do that. I'm not in the right place to do that. And I'm going to watch everybody else swim in the deep end while I hang out in the shallow end kicking myself." Like, we should not be kicking ourselves anymore spiritually. Like, at some point, we get tired of saying, "I should probably do that." When in Jesus, in his grace and mercy, says, "Take heart, it is I." And then we step out of the boat. Agreed? And so here's what oneness looks like. So it is the deep end. And first, we're going to be one with Jesus. Like, that's next week. We'll spend 1 week on just, what does it mean to be one with Christ? Really one with Christ. Week two is this, and it flows out of Travis's part. I want to read it quickly. Matthew 22 and verse 34 is a familiar passage for all of us. It's the great commandment. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second, it is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. See, if we don't have, and that word love there, as Travis was going to point out this morning, is agape. And agape love is the highest form of love. It's higher than like a crush or affection or a friendship or a partnership or sexual love. Like, it is the highest form of love. And what it means is that we will leave all other things to pursue that love. So that's what Jesus is saying. Drop everything else and pursue God with everything you have, with your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's why oneness with Jesus is so important. And out of that flows this. It's the second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's, again, the same kind of love. Agape love. We should have agape love that leaves all other forms of love behind for God. And we should have agape love that leaves all other forms of love behind for our neighbor. And here's the deal. Like, we are neighbors here in this room. And so, the second part of our vision for 22, the deep end, is that we are going to find oneness with each other. And I think we're getting there. But we've got some more room to go. Right? We've got more room to go. As Tammy, you were saying just a second ago, as we give up more of ourselves, we receive more of Him. The more we receive of Him, the more we're supposed to push it out. Like, I don't know if you understand this or not, but like the stuff that we receive from the Lord is not for us primarily. It's for the world around us. It's for the world around us. It's for the agape love in here. Imagine what it looks like as we pursue agape love in here, where we love each other in such a way that people don't question our motives and motivations for each other. That feels like the deep end, right? Because I don't know about you, like, and you know, like some of the stuff I grew up with, I'm like, oh gosh, do they really like me, or are they just being nice to me, you know? Like, imagine if all that gets stripped away. Imagine if all that gets stripped away, and we become known as a church who loves really well, and we have a great foundation, and I think there's more to do. And then the other one, finally, is the third piece of our deep end is oneness in mission and in purpose. So here's the thing. Like, we all have a mission, and it's the same. How we accomplish that mission is different for each of us, because we're all unique, and we all have an identity and a purpose and a gift set that God has blessed us with. And so talk about loving our neighbors really well. When we become more intentional with understanding who we are and how God has hardwired us, and then we step out as salt and light, and oneness and mission and sharing the gospel and being His hands and feet to our neighbors that are not in this room. Like, think about all the opportunities that we've just celebrated and that we're celebrating that we've done. Now think about all the others that we don't even know yet. Right? Like, that feels like the deep end. Agreed? Agreed? So I don't know if you guys are fired. You're like, oh, I don't know. I'm ready to go. I'm stoked. Because it's just right there. And what's beautiful about it is it's not like we're having to manufacture something. It's there. It's been there. And God's slowly revealing it in His timing and His purpose. This is not engineered. It's not slick. It's not man-made. This is from Him. And it is for all of us. For all of us. So that'll be our third week, is that we'll talk about what it means to be oneness in mission. So we're one with Jesus, we're one with each other, and we're one with the mission, and that is the deep end. And whether you're a good swimmer or not, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because God doesn't throw His kids into the deep end of the pool and say, figure it out. He just does it. That's not how I learned to swim. I'm sure that's not how you learned to swim. That's how I learned to ski. I went to the top and like rode my butt all the way down to the bottom of the mountain, right? Like, that's something, but like the deep end. Like, He does not throw His kids into the deep end without resources. And each and every one of us have resources to give. They're not just for us. And so when I think about 22, I think about all the endless possibilities and the motivation, and like, that's what gets me fired up. I want to read one more thing, and we'll transition back. And again, like, this is just a snippet. We'll go much deeper the next few weeks. And I just want to put this in your ear. On January 30th, we're going to have a Gospel Sunday where we just present a gospel message. And we're going to have, and it's going to be a day where we invite our friends and family and our neighbors to something like that, who maybe are not part of a spiritual community. So January 30th, we're going to call it, it's our big day. I don't know the theme yet. I haven't talked about it with whoever thoughts to figure out themes and stuff. But we're going to figure out what that looks like. But it's going to be a thing where we just present the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, enjoy each other, and hopefully expose some other people to the beauty of who Jesus is as well. So I want you to be praying for that. So if you're done fasting, pray for that every day, because it's the only thing that moves mountains is prayer. We could check all the right boxes, and if there's no spiritual blood going to it, there's nothing to do. We're just rearranging deck chairs. And we're not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, y'all. We're not. We have a Savior who is risen. Who is risen. I want to read this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says this in 18 and 19. And Ben, y'all can come back up. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, right? My child. Not Paul's literal child, his spiritual child. In accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And they're like, wait a minute, there's prophecies, there's warfare, what does all that mean? Here's what I want you to focus on. We are all God's spiritual children. All of us. Whether we know him or not, we are all God's spiritual children. And so Paul is entrusting a charge for Timothy to build God's kingdom, not Paul's kingdom, in accordance with the things and the statements that have been made about you. So I just want to say this. If you have Jesus in your heart, you have everything you need to wage good warfare. Everything. There is nothing that you lack. You might become more aware of what God's up to in your life, and that might change. But from right now, there is nothing lacking in any of us spiritually because of the death of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So I'm imploring you, as we explore the next 3 weeks and this year, let's wage good warfare. That sounds like deep end to me, right? That's deep end. Like, let's go carry the fight, you know? Like, it's not my notes. Tennessee football, which you're like, yeah, I know. He always talks about Tennessee football. They have these things that they say before every game. They're called maxims. They've been around for like 50-something years or whatever. And the last one is carry the fight to whatever team they're playing and keep it there for 60 minutes. That's the last thing they say before they all walk out of the locker room and go play and compete, right? So this idea, carry the fight. Wage good warfare. And then in verse 19, it says this, holding faith and a good conscience. That's how we wage good warfare, because by rejecting this, some have made a shipwreck of their faith. That's hard words. Like, I think about just my own walk and my own journey. I have made a shipwreck of things at times. But thankfully, my anchor is Jesus, not whether or not I could pilot the boat. Right? And so what I want to put before each of us is that holding on to the faith and a good conscience, let us not be said of us as individuals or as a church that we have made a shipwreck of our faith. Let it not be said of us that we are shipwrecks, because we are not. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So as we start wading off the shore and into the deep end, I'm going to ask you two things. One, lean in and be present and intentional. If you're not present and if you're not intentional, then you'll never get to the deep water that he's calling us to. Not but as individuals and as a church. It's going to take all of us, not some of us. And here's the thing. We get really caught up in like, well, that person has that gift and this person has that gift. Here's the bottom line. All of our gifts, all the stuff that God's deposited in us for the world, to Him, they're brass coins. He does not equate any one person's gifts or skill set or standing in the church any higher than anyone else. You think you're lower than me? You're wrong. You're wrong. We are all on the same playing field. We all have brass coins to offer. It's when we get into the, well, that person does that really well and I don't, and so now somehow they're more spiritual and more better than I am. It's not about that. So that's one. Lean in and be intentional. And two, give Him the results, because I am. There's about a billion things I'd love to say that by this date, at this time, we'll do this, 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 and this. But yet, what does God's Word say? Some say we're going to do this, and we're going to be here next year, and we're like a vapor, and we're gone in a second. So I'm going to hold to God whatever He wants, whatever the results are, it's going to be Him. What you and I are going to hold each other accountable to is faithfulness and obedience. So I'm going to ask you to let go of the results. It's probably going to press some comfort zones. It's already doing that with me, right? I mean, like, who wants to spend Christmas realizing that you're spiritually bloated? You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean I'm spiritually bloated? I'm doing what you want me to do. Yeah, you're spiritually bloated, Tyler. Come on. Simplify just a little bit. Come on, right? So I'm going to ask you, press in, lean in, be present, be intentional, and let Him have the results. For January 30th and for the rest of the year, who knows? But I know one thing, we are not going to be a shipwreck. And we are not going to stay in the shallow end. Amen? Will you guys stand and pray with me, please? I know the band's going to play a few more songs and we'll be done. But Lord, I want to pray over us. I thank You that You have listened, God, that we've been listening and that You have responded and are responding. And while we have at least a sense of what this means on one hand, we just barely tap the surface. And that's exciting to me. So Lord, I pray as we sing that we will press in, that we'll lean in, that we'll be intentional, and that we'll leave the results up to You. And whatever, God, You have us both as individuals, as families, and as a church family, I pray that Your will be done in our lives, and that when we think about oneness with You, with each other, and with Your mission, that You would be glorified. At the end of the day, that's it. And so as we sing, and as we think and contemplate what You're calling us to do in each of these areas for the next year, God, I pray that You would just accept the brass coins of the widow. We were all spiritual widows before You, Jesus. It's in Your name.